in here tonight, we have a great opportunity to get into the Scriptures. I love Wednesday because we get to get into the Word. And one of the things we're going to start doing on Wednesdays is kind of going, I wouldn't call it old school, but we're going to start going line upon line on some things. And tonight, I really want to maybe just set the stage for that. And we're going to be reading out of the Scripture. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3. And before we read the Scripture, I want to just kind of set the stage a little bit here. Really, one of the most powerful things within our reach as believers is our Bible. Because it's not mystical. It's there, but yet it's supernatural and it's powerful. But it's within our reach that we can actually make a decision to grab a hold of something. And then in faith, read it. And believing that, and that's what this Scripture we're getting ready to read, it kind of gives fully encapsulates what the Word is to us. And so if you guys want to stand for the reading of the Word, we can do that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now, like Pastor Dan said a second ago, you know, we don't want to deny the power thereof, right? We want to believe for the power thereof. We want those miracles to be flowing in our presence all the time. And so, but it says of those kind, it says to really turn away from those, from such turn away. Verse 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Then that's neat. "But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and hast seen, have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. In that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation." Now this is a part really kind of key in here. It says, verse 15, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Lord, we just ask you to open up our hearts to receive these truths. Lord, help this Scripture make a change in us. And Lord, we thank you for the revelation that comes straight from your Spirit. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A lot there. I know we went through a whole lot of Scripture there, but of course, Paul is writing to Timothy and another go-about here, and he's trying to help this young man to be able to walk out the purpose of his life. And he says, "I'm going to empower you with something here." And so he says, make sure that you remember yourself that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so when we look through, can you guys say all with me? One, two, three, all. All Scripture. See, that's a big statement. That's a small, you know, it's a three-letter word, but that is a big statement that all Scripture is God-breathed. But it goes on to tell us that it is, first of all, it says profitable for doctrine. Now, I looked up some of these words because I want to kind of get a full depth of understanding of what this really means, because it's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is, in many other definitions, instruction, learning, and teaching. That's what the doctrine is good for, is help us to be instructed, to learn, and also to be able to teach. Then secondly, it says for reproof. Reproof, and you check out the roots, the root word that it comes from in the Greek, means proof and conviction. It's profitable for these things to help us. How many of you still believe that conviction is a valid thing for believers? Man, if we don't have that, then we're back into the place again that basically saying our hearts are hardened, our ears are dull of hearing, and you know, we might even have a stiff neck. And so conviction is very real for today, and the Word helps us to stay in touch with that conviction that comes straight from heaven. Next, it talks about for correction. And when you look up the meanings of these things, it's a straightening up again. How many of you go to the chiropractor every now and then, and man, when they get a hold of you, how many of you know a chiropractor? Raise your hand. Everybody in here, I'll raise your hand. Yeah, she's in our presence. That a girl? Pick her out there. Sometimes when you go there, they have to really get physical to make that thing pop. The way, you know, I've been to places before where they're very tender and polite, and I'm like, no. Act like you're mad at me and hurt me. Get this thing to pop. I want to hear something, you know. And so there's the process of straightening up again. And that's what the Word does for us. It helps us to stay in the right placement, in the right position, and not be out of sorts in the Spirit, you know, and even in our mind. And so then next, but it also says for correction, that another translation of this is reformation. It's a reforming of things. And so the Scripture is able to bring, I'm gonna add to this a little bit. There are some things when we read the Scripture by God, because it's God-breathed and it's also communicated to us by His Holy Spirit, that there's something that gets formed in our mind and in our heart. He brings things to life from the Scriptures. And it's a reforming that goes on in us. And then lastly, talks about instruction in righteousness, but the word instruction is education or training. It implies disciplinary correction, chastening, and nurturing. And so what I like too is the summation of all this. It says that this Scripture is able to, it spoke earlier in the above Scriptures, make wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are what help us to become wise to salvation. We have to, and here's the weirdest thing, because this book has been studied by scholars, and they're looking at it and reading it by intellect, trying to use their rational mind to try to get the insights of what's within the Scripture. But the Bible says without the Spirit, this will seem like foolishness when you read it. So there is this. These Scriptures are so amazing when interpreted to us by the Spirit of God. And if we accept Jesus, we have the Spirit. We can read this, and God can blow stuff up in our hearts, man, by just reading these lines. And I want to say again, all Scripture is capable of doing that as we continue to read it. But it also says that Scripture is also able to save our soul. Now, salvation deals with the spirit being born again, and we are three parts. We are a body, soul, and spirit. And so I do believe that this is also talking about the other part of who we are as a creation, as God's creation, and that's our soul. But it says, too, that the Scriptures are also able to save our soul. How many of you in here have seen a rise in mental health issues in our environment and in our communities? Come on. It's just going crazy. I mean, we don't know what to do. Even scientifically, we don't know what to do. Even you start talking to some of the doctors and they're like, well, until we can figure it out, let's just give them a pill to keep them chill. And, you know, I'm you know, that's fine for a season. But we've got to remember that the soul needs ministered to by the one who knows the soul best.
Yeah.
It's God. And He knows, He formed us, He made us, He wired you a certain way. And you are wired a certain way. He knows it better than Rob does. Now, Rob is close to it too, as your husband. But He knows how He wired you. And there are some spiritual supplements that you have got to have in your soul. And the way that you get them is you go to the Bible and you start reading. That's amazing. And so when we are faithful to this, it says that this leads to being perfect. It leads to being perfect. Now that means none of us are ever going to come to a place of perfection. I'm just going to say that. Not till we know Jesus and we see Him face to face. Then we'll get perfection. We'll get it. We may not... But right, we're not ever going to be, but perfect that it's talking about here is basically it says fresh and complete. So we get a refreshing. We get to be, almost having a young zeal about us because we are able to stay within the Scriptures and to read it and to be blessed by the Lord really telling us what it means. And so I know I've gone through... A lot. I've said a lot here about how valuable the Scripture is, and I want to say that because we are going to go line upon line, precept upon precept here in the future on Wednesday night. But what I want us to be careful of, and there's some things that go on, and I don't think there's anything new under the sun. I think the church world has seen some of this stuff time and time again, but there are some things, first of all, some people, we are a full gospel. How many of you in here are aware of that? Okay, I want to make sure y'all know that. We are full gospel. And so when people would ask me, well, what does full gospel mean? It's like, well, we believe everything in the Bible. That it's for today. We believe it. And we don't take parts of it and take it out and set it to the side. We believe it. It's truth. And we believe in the manifestations of the Spirit. God alive today, moving and ministering in many different ways. You know, miracles, healings. We call them signs and wonders, but just Him showing up, maybe be able to prophesy to you, and you try to explain it as best you can about what it means to be full gospel, but I just think the easiest thing that can be said is we believe the whole Bible. And so, in that, you know, when you start getting into the depths of how the Bible can be studied, it's almost, I guess I put it like this, I think the simplicity of the gospel, which is the power of the gospel, we oftentimes, because of our flesh, we get bored and we try to overcomplicate it. That's my opinion. It's almost like we get bored and so we want to try to overcomplicate the Scriptures. And so in that, and mankind has done that over and over. And how many of you in here have heard of dispensationalism? You ever heard that term? Some people believe that apostles, once the apostles died, that's when all the gifts went away. That was a time period or a dispensation when the gifts were valid for the church. And so we dismiss it, or some people do, not us, but some people dismiss the gifts because of dispensationalism. They hold it only for a certain time way back when. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing today. We can take scriptures. And I'm going to use some examples here. But before I do that, I found this in studying out dispensationalism. I wanted to get a little bit more of a better understanding. But I'm going to read this real quick. Literal dispensationalists hold to a literal interpretation of the Bible as the best hermeneutic or the best way to study it. The literal interpretation gives each word the meaning it would commonly have in everyday usage. Allowances are made for symbols, figures of speech, and types of course. It is understood that even symbols and figurative sayings have literal meanings behind them also. So, for example, when the Bible speaks of 1,000 years in Revelation 20, literal dispensationalists interpret it as a literal period of 1,000 years. And then the dispensation of the kingdom. Since there is no compelling reason to interpret otherwise, vessels interpret it otherwise. It goes on, the second reason for us to do a literal dispensation or literal interpretation is because the second reason is it's biblical. Now, this is the one that really caught me off guard. I never heard this before, but it says, every prophecy about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament was fulfilled literally.
Oh, yeah.
Was not figuratively. It was literally. And now we can say, okay, so, well, you know, we go to read certain parts of the Bible and we say, yeah, but, you know, that's Old Covenant. Now, the moment we say this, what we're indirectly doing, if we're not careful, is we are stripping the Word of its power anytime something on that matter or that topic is mentioned in the Scriptures thereafter. I'm going to use an example. It's the one everybody wants to argue about. Tithing. I don't have to tithe. It's Old Covenant. So then at that point, when we think like that, all of a sudden, all the Scriptures within the New Testament that we read later on that have anything to do with giving, and I'm not just talking about tithe, anything to do with giving, all of a sudden, those Scriptures are absolutely stripped of their power to transform, to help us to be convicted, to help empower us so that we can become perfect for every good work that the Lord has in store for us. It just happens. It's almost involuntary. And so if we're not careful, we can dispensationalize the idea that, well, giving was for back when, before Jesus hung on the cross. And actually, giving and tithing and all these things were actually established well before the Old Covenant was even mentioned. Dan.
Yeah, I think you and I were talking earlier. My mic on? You and I were, I turned it off.
Yes, all right, my bad. Chip and I were talking earlier, and Jesus completely fulfilled the law. So we're not going back to the law. We're not setting up ordinances and external things to get an internal relationship with Jesus. But I told him this, you know, all Scripture, when it said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, they didn't have a New Testament at that time. And so they could read the books of the Bible, even Old Covenant. And now that I'm regenerated, I can read the Old Covenant and I can find the heart of God in it.
Amen.
And so I can see the spirit behind what the Lord was trying to do, not that we would resort back to an old covenant, but with new eyes and a new covenant, we can see the heart of God regardless of whether it's an old covenant scripture or a new covenant scripture.
Amen. And so ultimately, with what Dan is saying, when we think about this, some people don't even believe that the Bible has any value at all. I've heard Christians say, well, that was written by men, so it's totally flawed. I've heard it. And I'm like, what? Yeah, my heart just starts thumping very quickly. I think, I'm getting ready to say the wrong thing. I'm getting ready to say the wrong thing. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't say the wrong thing. And I'm like, what? You know, this is an anchor for our soul, man, this Word. It has to be, we have to revere this as the truth of everything. When we study it out, it's a truth. It's really the only form of truth that we have. Everything else can be built upon, on top of it if it wants to be, but this is the foundation of truth. And once we start saying stuff like that, well, I don't believe that I need to go to church to have a relationship with God. Not scriptural. I don't believe I need to give. Not scriptural. It's not. The gathering. The Bible says, gather even more so as the day draws more near. Well, guys, are we farther or closer to His second coming? We're closer. So should we be gathering more or less? It's more. And the gathering is, you see, it's the craziest thing because the devil has done a fantastic job of jumping in our brain and allowing us to justify taking some of the Scriptures and throwing them out or watering them down. And when we do that, guys, listen, self-justification is the most powerful tool that the devil has against us. And we buy it hook, line, and sinker sometimes. We take it hook, line, and sinker sometimes. Because we have an experience, And for whatever reason, we feel like our experience trumps the truth of the Word. And that is not healthy in the to the soul, to the flesh, or to your spirit. I mean, it's serious that we take this word as God Himself is speaking it. And so, not only that, here's the wild thing. This is Revelation. Is that Old Testament, New Testament? Somebody help me. New? Okay, thank you. Good. Loaded question, right? Revelations 22:18. For now, this is talking about a certain prophecy that's being shared in Revelation, okay? But what he does say, this is about a revelation that came from God to a man, was written down in the Spirit of God, is saying this in Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I can't explain to what extent all that goes. I'm sure we could all get into a doctrinal debate about how far all this is, what this is talking about. But what I can say for certain, God's very serious about people messing with His Word. Can we all agree on that right now? That by reading that Scripture, that's New Testament, man. And He's saying, don't mess with My Word. And so for us, we have to let our intellect, because we are a very, very, very smart people when you look at the ages of all the days of time. We are probably one of the smartest generations. I mean, we just see technology. I'm not speaking for myself personally. Like, I'm just saying we as a people are super, we have so much information available to us, and we're very technologically advanced, and we're bright. We use a lot of our brain. But that still, no matter how smart we think we are, we can't outthink God. And I feel like sometimes we try to do that. And that's where that justification comes in. And we can't allow that. We've got to be, if we are going to grow and mature for the things that God has in store for us, because I believe we're at the front end of a revival right now. And God needs a bunch of grown-up, mature, adult believers who are able to minister grace to a bunch of brand new converts. And this is why I'm so passionate about this tonight. This is why my face is getting red, because it's important that we grow up. And I feel like what's stymieing our maturity is the fact that we are letting the culture of the world, and we are letting our own self-justification get in the way of God's truth saturating every part of what we are. And I don't want to, and I'm confessing to you, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to walk in the light of the truth, and I want to grow up so that I can help every person that God's going to bring into this place and into my life. Can I get somebody else to say yes to that? Amen. Amen. And so as we read through this, I think one of the neat things to keep in mind, and I want to boil it down to this, three things. I got 4 minutes to do so, but first of all, let's be full gospel. Okay? Let's do it. Let's be full gospel. Let's believe for the miracles. Let's just let the Lord do whatever He wants to do. Let Him manifest through us in any way possible, signs and wonders. And across the board, Lord, You have our permission. Can we give Him permission tonight? Yeah. Amen. And so what we don't want to do is, you know, we don't want to be quick to non-literally dispensationalize. We want to stay away from that. We want to be literal interpreters of the Word. The next thing is we want to trust the Word, which, who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. We want to trust the Word. We want to trust the written Word. We want to trust Him, the Word. And we do not want to lean on our own understanding. Does anybody else know, or does anybody know the balance of that scripture, that lean not unto your own understanding? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and thank you guys are on it, man. We got some scholars in here. I love it. It says, this is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. That means this: everything that you, back then he was speaking to farmers, and they needed wine because that was how they stored their drink for beyond actual harvest time. This is for well thereafter, but for your barns to be full and your vats to be bursting with so much wine. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you great provision if you'll not lean on your own understanding. In other words, don't let your life experiences shape the Scripture. Let the Scripture shape your life. And so don't lean on your own understanding. And so that's the second thing. Trust in the Word and don't lean on our own understanding. But also, live on the Word and not just food. Jesus said, man, this is when Satan's tempting him. He said, man should not live on bread alone or food alone. He said, but we should live out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Guys, listen, I believe in the Rhema, which is just the word dropped from heaven and a word of prophecy, but I also believe in the written word, the Logos word, that is great power, and that is what we need to be living on. I'll confess you guys, I eat at least 5 times a day. Sometimes 6. It just happens. I shouldn't, but I do. I'm grazer. And I have 3 hearty meals. You think that would be enough, but then I'm all the time doing stuff in between. So if I go and open the refrigerator to feed my flesh, to feed my belly, how often should I be feeding on the Word? Because man shall not live on ho-hos and pizza and Pepsi and alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now listen, guys, I'm not talking about reading 17 chapters every time you open the Bible. Because I just mentioned, the Bible is inspired by God. It is so powerful. One sentence can change your day that shapes the rest of your future. Yeah. One sentence. Yeah. That's how powerful the Word is. Don't let anyone water down the Word. Don't let anybody strip the power of God's grace from His Holy Scriptures. When they start talking that junk about, well, you got to read so-and-so from way back when to fully understand the New Testament or the Old Testament. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm serious. That is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Now, I'm not saying don't read it or don't, study into it or check it out. Go for it. But man, be careful trying to start dismissing things out of the Scripture and set them to the side, because it will not bring the promise of what God said this can bring. Dan.
Well, I remember when I first got born again, that was one of my challenges, was how am I going to read this, 66 books and understand it all? And I just decided, I would read a chapter, Old Testament, chapter, New Testament, and then after a while, I kind of broke it up, and I'm like, I'm just going to feed my soul. I'm going to read enough to where I got enough to think on all day long with it. So there would be some days when I would read a paragraph. There might be some days when I would read 3 chapters to get the whole thing. But, I just came out from underneath the law that I had to read this much.
Yeah.
And I got peace knowing in the beginning as well that if I read something and I didn't understand it, I still got credit for it.
Yeah.
In God's eyes, because I tried. So I would just pretend that, hey, I'm putting this on the shelf, and one of these days I'm going to understand it, but I'm going to read it anyway.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
No, I want to stay hungry for the Word.
Amen.
Thank you for the Word tonight.
And we want to be teachable. We want to stay teachable. And I want to mention this again in what we talked about. In closing, I want to challenge you first. Please read Proverbs 3, the whole chapter. It's only like 24 verses. Proverbs 3. And yes, it's Old Covenant, but all Scripture. It is God breathed, but man, it is rich. But also, I want to make note of something. When it talks about in 2 Timothy 3 that It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. How many of you in here invite instruction? Womp, womp, womp. How many of you in here feel warm and fuzzy about the idea of correction? Womp, womp, womp. Again, that bloop, bloop, bloop. That's a loser. We just don't like it. Lord, renew our mind. In our hearts. Renew. I mean, really. Because listen, here's the craziest thing. When we say law, everybody thinks that's a bad term. Boo! Law has always been established for our good. Every time. Even the natural laws of our land right now. They might be wonky in some areas, but as the most part, it's to help us to live a peaceable life. Law is good. And these principles of correction and instruction and reproof, these are good too. These are healthy. These will help us to grow and to be ready for the things that God has in store for us. And so, does anybody have anything they want to share before we wrap up? Ann mentioned the scripture. It says, a father who loves his children disciplines. Actually, it says right in the scripture, it says, the Lord chastens those whom he loves. Chastening, you guys can search that out later, but that's not a hug sometimes. The hug comes after, but there's a chastening that goes on. He never stops loving us. See, this is the whole this is the redefining of what love is. It's not just benevolence and charity. I think we've taken that word love and we transformed it into two words, benevolence and charity. No, love also includes correction and chastening. It's like, oh, bummer. But with His Spirit in us, we can handle this. Amen. But that's a very good point, Ann. Thank you. Anybody else, real quick? Say that again, please.
I said, just to go along with what Ann said, he who spares the rod hates his child. We misquote that in Proverbs to where it says, he who spares the rod spoils his child, but the King James actually says he hates his child.
Yeah. Yeah. How many of you know somebody who is scared of their own kid after they grow up a certain age? I do too. I've had phone calls. Scared of their own kid. That is not life abundant. And most of the time when I'm trying to work with somebody, I'm like, you know, how are you correcting this child? Well, we read a book. I'm like, okay, it's not working. That book is not working. So, but these are the things, again, everything that we need to succeed in life is in this scripture. Raising kids, being husbands and wives, being an employee, being an employer, being brothers and sisters, every part of our life of who we are is in this book. And so I encourage us all, let's stay hungry for the Word. Let's get in the Word, seek those things out. And again, let's believe all of it. Let's just believe that everything God says in His Word is true. Amen. If you guys want to stand up, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. As a reminder, Proverbs 3, read through that. Ask the Lord to minister to your heart on that. It's just so, and it's all chocked full of goodies, but that's a good one. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we do. We ask that you help us, Father, to be open hearts. Lord, that we would be teachable, that we would be instructable and open for anything that you want for us so that we can be perfect or at least straightened and shapened and formed in a way for you to have your way in our lives, Lord. And so thank you for a prospering bunch of people who believe in the power of your word, who believe that your word is true, we trust you, Lord. We give you permission to download that revelation every time we open up the scriptures, that you start dropping things into our spirit. And we just say thank you for it, Lord, in advance. Thank you for allowing us to mold us to be more like you, and Lord, to bring us into a place of unity and agreement to help all those in this community, Lord, that you've called us to help. We love you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.